Good morning, everyone. Moderator, could I first of all bring my personal congratulations and that of the board on your appointment as moderator. We look forward to journeying with you in the year to come. Elizabeth, Lisa, thank you for your thanks and your report, and Laura, your future in the diplomatic service is assured. This year, our report and its appended resolutions are dealing with some of the bigger issues within the life of social witness and our communities. Our work continues to be delivered by a group of dedicated staff and volunteers. Our work in pictures will give you that glimpse of what we do on a day-to-day basis. Time and time again, I find myself returning to the parable of the Good Samaritan, not to justify the work of social witness, but to feed on the richness of that story and the messages, the challenges, and the commands that are buried within that text. Good Samaritan law are laws or acts offering legal protection to people who give reasonable assistance to those who are injured, ill, in peril, or otherwise incapacitated. In some cases, Good Samaritan laws encourage people to offer assistance. It's a movement that is spreading throughout the United States to protect those who volunteer. The Good Samaritan Society, in their mission statement, states, "The mission of the Evangelical Lutheran Good Samaritan Society is to share God's love in work and deed by providing shelter and supportive services to older persons and others in need, believing that in Christ's love, everyone is someone." In Christ's love, everyone is someone. Government policy cutbacks, more threatened cutbacks, are placing us all at risk. Welfare reform already having a catastrophic impact on individuals and their families. Child poverty not being reduced. Waiting lists and ward closures causing unnecessary pain and distress. A system relying on commitments of carers. A system that is breaking. The whole debacle over the closure of residential and nursing homes resulted in unprecedented outspilling of public opinion to such an extent that the process was halted. Moderator, we must stay engaged with these processes. They are affecting every one of us, our loved ones, our congregations, north, south, east and west of this island. The King's Fund and other research yesterday confirming our worst fears concerning A&E departments and cancelled operations. Disturbing statistics of the level of clinical care within the health service. As a church, we can be neither priest nor Levite. Walking past the issues, we must have a Samaritan approach to what we do. The recent debacle with regards to the future of residential and nursing care demonstrates the lengths that government will go to justify the reduction in services and attempt to convince us that it's the best way forward. Making the words fit the argument, it doesn't work, folks. Home is not always the best option. Home is not always the safest option. Home is not always the most cost-effective option for older people, especially those who live on their own. The Older People Services Committee discussed this ongoing development within the care of older people at their meeting here in this city on the 1st of May. The committee acknowledges that a review of services is necessary and that transforming your care is a good framework document with both motivation and enabling powers. But older people services and all programmes of care need more than just statements. Transforming Your Care is a far-reaching document and study that impacts on all ages, all services provided by health and social services. So the committee agreed that a letter should be sent to the Minister of Health and Social Services and Public Safety, Edwin Poots, and highlighting what is contained in the supplementary reports. You will read there a long list of concerns that we had as a board and on your behalf as a denomination. Their concern related to the recent developments, to the closure of statutory homes, The issue had become a political football, and no issue should become a political football. No right to live in your home should be that motivation within the media. But the statement had succeeded in creating a high level of anxiety among the elder community and their families. The minister has now halted the process. He has apologised for the hurt and the offence that may have been taken. There was never any doubt it was taken. A recent Transforming Your Care update outlined the way forward for a future consultation, a process that will include the voluntary and community sector, and has proposed the formation of an integration care partnerships. We have again responded to that on your behalf and said we want to be part of that. We need to be on the ground floor. The Minister's office has replied, and Mr. Pooch has agreed to visit our work and to discuss the issues. Moderator, our church has been commended for speaking out and stating the case as it is. We all want the best for those who are vulnerable. Research will tell us that the biggest fear of older people is loneliness. Could I also say to the General Assembly that we have no plans to close any of our homes? But there will be challenges ahead, and those challenges have to be converted into opportunities. Then to mention the other big issues. Welfare reform. The train has left the station. The implementation of the welfare reform is already making the impact. Yes, concessions were negotiated with regards to fortnightly payments and the bedroom tax and the age threshold. Although parity with the rest of the UK is unavoidable, there is some local tweaking that can be done. What lies ahead is full implementation in 2015, and the promise of more cuts are on the way as they cut well into next year's budgets. Where will welfare reform end? We really don't know. Pastorally, I'm hearing all sorts of things with regards to ministers and elders who are visiting, to the programmes that some of our churches are developing. And from that point of view, I want to thank all our congregations who have engaged in all of this in any way at all, with regards to storehouse, with regards to soup kitchens, with regards to lunch clubs. Anything at all that has been in there has been welcomed. So we do. We do want to commend that to you. The Disability Health and Wellbeing Committee of Family Services wants to look at the whole issue of carers and the vital role that they play. So please, please do take part in the audit. Please return your audit so that we know what really is happening out there and where the PCI family plays their part. Then to look at the Bamford Report on mental health. And at long last, the department has published an action plan delivering the Bamford vision. Many of you will know that the late Professor David Bamford was an elder of our church and a dear friend and mentor of mine. So it is fitting that this House supports this initiative and calls on the Northern Ireland Assembly to adequately resource and fund its implementation. Good mental health services, friends, are more essential in this time of recession and austerity than at any other time. So in conclusion, all of those big issues that are there, taking care on the whole issue of child protection, the whole issue of all of our works and all the things that we do in all our locations. So in conclusion, I want to return to Luke 10, verse 35. In the morning he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "And take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on the way back." Isn't this such a powerful verse? You see, Good Samaritan story was not that one simple good deed. It was guaranteeing sustainability, maintaining the care, continuing the love and service, seeing it through to a conclusion. And Jesus said, "Go do likewise. Do the same." Thank you.
the benefits of following Lindsay is that people can now see the screen better. I'm not sure if you realised that Little and Large were convener and secretary of one of the boards. But moderator, I want to... He's always been a man I look up to. Sorry. Moderator, I want to draw our attention to the unique and special work of PCI chaplains. And it's not by accident that the work of Forces, Healthcare and Hospice, Prison and University chaplains is referred to under the Board of Social Witness as specialist ministries, because these are specialist ministries. Each is very valid, and in and of itself is a unique form of mission and ministry. Each is very different from the other. Although we might talk about chaplaincy work, the difference between a forces chaplain going out onto the front line and a university chaplain is immense. So we need to see each one individually as a unique and special form of mission and ministry. There are areas of common ground, but they do not fit into our normal concept of mission and ministry. Their world is not a church world. Their world is not a church world. For example, they serve transient congregations. In universities, hospitals, prisons, and also in the forces, there's a rapid through flow of people. From time to time, there's the opportunity for more prolonged ministry, but not the kind of generational ministry associated with congregational life. They serve transient congregations. They also serve in structured environments. They have to relate to an institution, a health trust, the Ministry of Defence, university authorities, Northern Ireland Prison Service. They cannot decide exactly how and when they do evangelism or minister to others. Simple things that we take for granted in congregational ministry, chaplains cannot. A forces chaplain will not be there for every child's birthday or even birth. A prison chaplain cannot arrange to meet a congregational member in a coffee shop or perhaps even on a given day. You will notice today, moderator, the forces chaplains who may be present will not be identified or presented to you. That is the ruling of the Ministry of Defence. Our forces chaplains are men and women under orders. Some of the preferences of choice, particularly in who we work with and where and when we work, that are still relatively free choices in congregational ministry, are not open to chaplains. And congregational ministers need to bear that in mind, perhaps particularly regarding healthcare and hospice chaplaincy that we tend to come closest to on a day-to-day basis. And I'll come back to that shortly. They serve in structured environments. They serve in situations of unique need. As we mentioned in our report, on a given day, a chaplain could be praying with soldiers about to go out into dangerous territory on the front line, praying for them, praying for their family and their colleagues. Or a chaplain could be having coffee with a student separated from familiar safety nets for the first time and being self-harming. Or sitting with a patient about to go in for a major operation. Or visiting a prisoner whose conviction and sentencing was all over the media just a few hours before. Our report refers to further unique opportunities for ministry in relation to the immigration detention unit at Larne, and through a variety of sports chaplaincies, from rugby to football to motorcycling. And we commend to the prayers of the House those who will be providing chaplaincy cover during the World Police and Fire Games in August. They serve in situations of unique and at times dangerous need. They serve also without the support of a congregation. Ideally, a congregational minister should be able to rely on the support, the advice, the prayers, the encouragement and confidentiality of a Kirk session. A chaplain will have colleagues who are likely to have the same joys and sorrows with the institution as they have, and the line management that may or may not have sympathy for an understanding of the Christian faith. They will have a chain of command or line management, but they have no Kirk session, no praying committed congregation. They serve in transient congregations. They serve in structured environments. They serve in situations of unique need and they serve without the support of a congregation. Our report moderator refers to the review of chaplaincy services in Northern Ireland Prison Service. We appreciate the assistance of Reverend Graham Stockdale at McGabbery, not Hydebank Wood, as we reported. And we are still in need of chaplaincy cover both there and in McGilligan. Our information about Rodney's attendance there was also inaccurate, and we apologise for that to McGilligan. But we hope that steps will be taken to be able to meet those needs. We're very aware that this time of review is very unsettling time for all of those who serve in whatever denomination in the prison service, and we commend that to the prayers of the House. And we bring a resolution today asking the Assembly to recognise that healthcare chaplaincy is under considerable threat, and to support the Board of Social Witnesses as it seeks to address the issues involved. In a reducing health service in which staff are under severe pressure, there is precious little, if any, quality time to care for the whole person, time to deal with fears and anxieties and the impact of treatment, maybe in an operation. There are various changes that are coming through. Restriction of information to parish ministers, a generic form of chaplaincy whereby an individual chaplain will cover all patients in one area of a hospital irrespective of denomination. That's line management. That's not chaplaincy choice. And chaplains being expected to fulfil their duty during visiting hours. We would ask for understanding and patience from parish ministers, recognising that chaplains do work in a structured environment and are not free, but are responsible institutions. Maybe even suggest that congregations might adopt a chaplain, learn more about their world, pray for them. Moderator, we commend this strategic work to the General Assembly. And in seconding the report with its appended resolutions, we finish with a very short clip of life for a forces chaplain, not of our denomination, but nonetheless challenging. I would invite you, moderator, if you are willing to pray for our forces chaplains as this ends. Thank you, moderator.
It's both a privilege and an honour for me, as a native of the Maiden City, to send greetings to you from Afghanistan. Equally, it's a privilege for me to be out here serving in the field hospital along with fellow men and women from the field hospital 204 based in Belfast. I am constantly reminded as an army chaplain that as I walk around the wards meeting young men and women, people who are hurting and people who feel somewhat isolated, of the words of Jesus, which I believe is the ethos of what Christian ministry is all about. Because Jesus said, "He who loses his life for my sake will find it." And certainly in my experience, that has been the case here. But we have a tremendous gospel to present. A gospel that brings both hope as well as reassurance that no matter how people feel, there is a bright future ahead. As ministers of the gospel, we have been called by Jesus not to serve a life of self, but a life of service. We're not called to be successful, but rather faithful. And if we are faithful, then certainly success will follow. May God bless you each one, and may you have a great assembly.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we hear the words of the chaplain say, repeating the words of Jesus, that he who loses his life for his sake will find it. We thank you that in a situation of conflict, the words of Christ are read, that the presence of Christ is brought through the presence of the many chaplains who are there to be with their congregation, to be with men and women in conflict, perhaps when fears rise in their hearts, when loved ones or our colleagues are lost, when there are severe injuries to be borne. We thank you that in the name of Christ, there are chaplains there. And today we pray for them. Wherever they are, perhaps back at base, with us at our assembly, or out in the field. Many will be separated from their own loved ones. And we pray not only for them, but for loved ones left at home who miss their loved one. And we pray your peace and your blessing upon them. We've heard of the loneliness of being a chaplain, the difficulty of working with a transient congregation, and having to work within a system and be people under authority. And as they learn to minister within that structure, may your hand be upon them. May your Spirit speak through them. And may glory come to you. We pray as always, in the name of Christ our Saviour. Amen.